Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur, and I am your host, John Naster, and, well, you are awesome. Apologies in advance, or apologies afterwards, for being a little bit late with this episode. We missed last week, unfortunately. We've been working hard over here at the HTE HQ. We're launching a whole new brand for our SEO agency called Rank Reset. And so it's been trying, should I say? But either way, we didn't get last week's episode out, but we're here, we're back, we're better than ever. And I think you're going to really, really dig today's episode. So let's get into it. My guest today had a dream to change the way consumers shop. A dream to build a brand that would help make buying decisions based on peer endorsements, not just advertising. Back in 2007, that dream became parent-tested, parent-approved. Now, a seal of approval used by thousands of brands across North America and one of the most respected in the industry. My guest has used the power of network television to grow her business and has been featured on more than 200 shows. Now, let's hack. Sharon Vindereen. As you are well aware, running your own business, growing your own business is no easy feat. And obviously in this time of somewhat social self-isolation, it gets even harder. So I wanted to tell you about this amazing online community that I'm part of. It's the ultimate knowledge hub from The Hustle, and it's called Trends. I've been somewhat obsessed with their Q&A section, they call it, where these are articles, but because it's in like a private community, people share a lot more openly. And there's been a lot of talk with companies and founders, people growing businesses and how they've had to deal with things around and new strategies around either coronavirus itself or just having to totally like pivot their business just to keep on being able to make money and grow as things completely change around us. And it's been fascinating to me, and it's actually made me feel a lot more part of something and less isolated. Trends gives me access to a community of industry leaders in virtually every field where I can learn how to capitalize on emerging opportunities. And Trends is a place where I can workshop ideas and network with other entrepreneurs and investors. Remember, your success is all about the people you surround yourself with. And with Trends, you can surround yourself with people that are making moves, taking action, and building businesses that are changing their industries and changing the world. I'm enjoying the Trends community so much, I want to share it with you. Right now, you can get the first 2 weeks for just $1. Go to trends.co/hack to start your $1 two-week trial. That's trends.co/hack. For your $1 two-week trial, trends.co/hack. And we are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. It's always a pleasure to have a fellow Canadian on the show. But because you Americans probably don't want to hear about it, we'll just jump right into it. Sharon, can you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
So I'm going to say it's probably partially a flaw, but when I have an idea in my mind, it doesn't really matter what anybody else tells me, whether it's rational or not. I kind of push forward with it. Some of those have led to failures, but a lot of them have led to the success that we have today.
Ooh, so you follow your gut. You take action when you have this idea and just go for it. You're not like, let me sit down with some spreadsheets and figure out the data behind it.
Yeah. So again, a flaw, but I am not detail oriented. I am an idea person, and you probably hear that from every entrepreneur. But when I have an idea and people say, I don't think it's going to work, I like to say, let's try it anyways, because you never know, right? You know, I invented a seal of approval that was really a figment of my imagination, and it's now being used by brands all across the world. So who would have thought something simple as that could be possible? So I believe push through. I feel like a lot of the big entrepreneurs like Elon Musk, who I idolize, I really don't think he cares what anybody tells him. If he has an idea, he is going to push through and maybe develop a rocket that takes everybody to the moon. So, yeah.
That's true. That's true. So this is parent-tested, parent-approved, what you mentioned, which is the seal of approval for hundreds of thousands, if not more, parents who are buying products and can rate them. It's a seal of approval that became like within the marketplace. But I mean, 2007, you just came up with an idea. When you came up with that idea, Sharon, was it like, I'm going to create this thing that will become the seal of approval for the marketplace? Or did it start as something else?
So what happened was I had started my second entrepreneurial journey, and that was inventing a baby product. And I was kind of going store to store and trying to pitch it to every store. And I thought, okay, there's got to be a better way. I went online, I found an awards company that promised me, you know, if I spent $5,000 with them, they would literally give me the world, give me distribution, all the rest of it. When I won the award, did absolutely nothing. And as an entrepreneur who was selling like a baby product that was worth $40 per product, $5,000 was a large amount of money to have wasted. So I feel like that was the impetus for starting this. It was the kick in the butt that every entrepreneur needs. Somebody screws you over, that is your chance to say, I think I'm just going to do this a heck of a lot better than you guys. And that's kind of how it started. I was a mom. I wanted an easy way to figure out what products were good for my family. And I wanted to be able to do that at a glance. So I created this seal of approval. And the only way a product leveraged this seal of approval or earn it is if our parent testers are actually testing their products in hand. So the biggest value here is it's not just a sticker somebody slaps on a product. It is the equivalent going shopping with 20 of your best friends and all of them going, yes, you need to buy that. That is awesome. That's kind of what our seal of approval is.
So, but in 2007, when you say you wanted to create a seal of approval, I'm assuming there's more than just like getting a seal designed.
Yes.
So like how do you become the de facto sort of seal? Like you see these things, right? And you hear about these awards and these, it's like, how did that start? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So for me, what I decided in my mind, so it was really difficult because all of a sudden here's this person calling big companies going, hey, do you want to buy into a seal of approval that nobody's heard of yet, but I'm sure it's going to be successful one day? And they were like, not so much. So what I decided to do with no television experience whatsoever, I decided to harass the producer at Canada AM, which used to be a national Canadian morning show, and literally emailed her and a few other producers religiously for, I'd say, close to 6 months. And when she finally got back to me saying, listen, I will give you one opportunity only if you promise not to email me again. So I took that opportunity, and all of a sudden I was able to become a, you know, small town television personality. So I got on that show. Then I started getting picked up on other shows. I got picked up on a lot of shows in the US, which is really what propelled the awareness of the seal. I was on The Rachel Ray Show, The Steve Harvey Show, Marie Osmond, while she had a show for a little while, MSNBC. So that really gave me the credibility that brands needed in order to invest in this seal of approval. And all of that together kind of created this momentum to bring awareness to it.
But in theory, when it starts, and even during getting onto Canada AM, even Steve Harvey, it's kind of an idea, isn't it?
It is, but when you're selling it, you're not selling it as an idea. You're selling it as this is a marketing tool that is going to make your product stand out. Your product is now sitting on a shelf competing with 20 other products. You need something that's going to be the equivalent of Donkey on Shrek going, pick me, pick me. That's what this seal of approval is. So it wasn't as much an idea, but more of a marketing initiative that I was trying to convince brands to invest in. And over the years, as we've grown a community of 200,000, now it's not just a seal of approval, it is awareness, it's access to 200,000 families, it's Instagram campaigns, it's Facebook campaigns, it's digital campaigns, you name it, we're doing it. So it wasn't an idea, it was a marketing platform.
Wow. And how long from the beginning did it take until the first product or company that did not deserve, was not deserved of the seal, tried to buy its way into the seal?
There are many companies who start the conversation with, okay, what's the fee? I'll pay it. You know, let's get this done. And we are the only organization in North America that actually, first of all, you can't go to our website and just submit a product for testing. It needs to be vetted through a conversation first, because if it's a lousy product, we're not going to waste anyone's time or money. Second, we give a 70% refund of fees if a product does not earn our seal of approval, and we give them all the market research from consumers. So the goal is, I'm not going to put this seal of approval on a product that doesn't meet the standards that we wanted to meet, because some consumer is going to go out, buy it, and go, this was really crappy. And all of a sudden, all the credibility I've built up over the last almost 13 years for this seal of approval is gone. So it's not infrequent that I get asked that question. Oh, is this a pay for play? That's what they tend to refer to it as, because there's a lot of people in the industry who are doing that. They'll slap a sticker on just about anything. You pay them a few thousand dollars and they're happy. With us, that is just not possible.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And so as you start getting on more and more shows, I'm sure traction is building because you are in front of a lot of people day in and day out. Who was the first person on your team you needed to hire?
So that was she was a marketer. She really had no background. I found her on, she applied through Kijiji and she kind of turned into a digital marketer. So she was somebody who drank the Kool-Aid, I like to say. She believed in this so passionately that at 1 o'clock in the morning, we were sending each other emails back and forth because we were both so excited about an idea. So I would say digital marketer / sales. She was willing to do anything and everything that it took to get this business off the ground.
Which seems like, I guess, seems like what you also, I mean, you were doing anything that it took. Like you were doing sales, you were doing marketing, you were just out there pushing this thing to get it.
You betcha. And today is no different. Today I am doing sales. I'm doing marketing. I'm doing, this weekend we converted my kitchen into a fake TV studio so we could film a video of all of our product winners that we've just announced. You name it, I'm willing to do it. Wait, let me take that back. Within reason related to my business, you name it, I'm willing to do it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. So it's a lot of growth. It's a lot of changes. It's a lot of changes to the marketplace. It's a lot of changes to the online space in the past, like 12 years. It's a lot of changes in general in our world. How have you, as the CEO founder of PTPA, how have you managed to keep like ahead of the market changes, or at least at pace with them, and ahead of your business as it grows so it doesn't like roll over you? Like, do you use coaches, consultants, or do you just sort of just wing it?
So I would say I smartened up a couple of years ago and joined an organization called PEO. And basically it is a network where you're assigned small groups. So I think our group is like 12 people, where once a month we meet, and it is literally like talking to your most personal consultants, where you can literally say to them anything and they are going through the same thing. So we can all give each other advice, guidance, and it almost, sadly, but when people are dealing with the same stress as you are, it almost makes you feel a little bit better. And this group of people just boosts me up when I'm struggling. I can reach out to them at any time. So I think that is very valuable for any entrepreneur, because I feel like, you know, I know it's been said before, but being an entrepreneur is the loneliest, loneliest job on the planet, because there is nobody who feels that roller coaster ride as much as you do. Nobody who eats, sleeps, and breathes the company as much as you do. And that's a lonely place to be.
Right. And so you're the CEO of a team that's still relatively small. You're playing the loneliest game that there is. Have you throughout this, or continue to at all, struggled with maybe involving like people from your team too much in your thought processes, or not enough?
I actually have verbal diarrhea. If I have an idea or a thought about something, I'm kind of sharing it with my team. I'm pretty much an open book, whether that's good or bad. So yeah, I am sharing all those ideas. You know, they don't necessarily drink the Kool-Aid on every idea, because some of them are outrageous or require a lot of effort. But I'm lucky in that I have a supportive team. I have a fantastic marketing director. I have someone who runs all of my campaigns, and she's been with me for 8 years. So I really believe that if you're putting the right people in the right position, that your business will continue to evolve and be successful because you have the right people surrounding you. If you have just a lot of people who are just doing the work but are not passionate, then it becomes incredibly difficult to not fall behind in terms of business opportunities.
Okay. I get it. That makes sense. And do you push this idea of, I guess, verbal diarrhea, or just like always putting out ideas and then like sort of synthesizing and worrying about them later? Do you push this like to the team and make this sort of part of the culture, or are you just the one who does it and everybody else has to just sort it out?
No. So 100%. And even when I'm interviewing people, because we're in the middle of hiring salespeople and social media people, every interview, they need to know that if they have an idea, we are open to hearing it. If it makes sense, it's in the budget, we're almost willing to try anything once. And if it's great, then we move forward with it. If it was a failure, it was a failure. You know, as long as it's not a huge investment, I hire people so I can learn from them. Everybody that's on my team brings a different perspective. I am far from the smartest. And if I was the smartest, then I would have done my hiring incorrectly. I want to learn. I want them to contribute. I want them to suggest, because there's better ways to do things than necessarily the way I think they should be done.
So deciding on projects, like whether it's marketing or a product or another offering you want from PTPA or a new market to enter, is that how you guys as a team like decide on what to try? Is just like, let's just try everything as long as it is not too invested in it?
I would say almost everything. So, you know, whether it's coming from me or if it's coming from someone else on the team, if, like I said, if it's not a huge investment in time or money, and we can do it, we like to test things. So before we're going to develop an entire software around it, we're going to develop a really basic way of doing it. Let's say, see if there's any uptake. If there is, okay, maybe we're going to invest a few more dollars. Let's see how it goes. And that's kind of how we've evolved. You know, when influencer marketing came out, we were one of the first companies doing that. And it was like, okay, well, let's hire 10 bloggers and let's see what they have to say. And then we created something called our PTPA Mom Squad, which is, we've decided we want to empower our community of 200,000 moms. So they can apply to be members of our Mom Squad. And if they make the cut, we get them to post on Instagram for us, helping us grow our community. In exchange, they get points. So before we launched a whole software to run this, it was, let's do a trial run and see how many moms are going to apply. And we had tens of thousands of moms apply. Okay, now let's run a campaign, you know, on a really basic level using MailChimp, and let's see how many actually do this program. We have thousands of respondents. So that kind of justified us going out and spending money and doing a build and investing time. So, and that wasn't my idea. It came from my marketing director, and it was, okay, go ahead and try it. If you think it's going to work, let's do it. So I think we can only grow from experimenting, because if you keep doing the same thing day in and day out, not only does it become boring, but I feel like you're missing the window of opportunity that lies beyond what you or always your core business has been.
Right. And if you decide to let your marketer go and test influencers with, say, like 10 bloggers and see how it works, do you sort of put like a quote unquote success sort of metric to that? Like, okay, well, we have to see an influx of this many, or do you just sort of feel it out when it's done?
I'd like to say that I'm very formal and we have all these success metrics, but it's pretty informal because we really are a tiny team. So, you know, when it came to that, we would look at the results. How many click-throughs did the client get? How many purchases did the client get? How responsive were these bloggers? Okay, should we continue doing this on a larger scale? Let's try it out. So we absolutely evaluate the results afterwards. Are we fantastic at putting the metrics together in advance? I'm going to say I'm not. My team is probably a lot better at that than I am.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I like it. Okay, so this is, I need to ask this because I've never interviewed somebody with a business like yours. And I'm excited to say that because I don't get to say that too often. But who would you say is your customer?
Right now, well, I mean, our customer is anyone who needs to stand out from their competition. We have parent-tested, parent-approved, and family-tested, family-approved. So
it's the businesses, though?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's only
businesses. So I'm just wondering, I'm like, you start talking about influencers. I'm like, so is it the businesses or is it the parents?
Yeah. That's why it's interesting to me. Absolutely. Our revenue model comes from the businesses and what I love.
No, that's awesome. Cool.
And then from the consumer side, we've built this community of 200,000 moms because they get the opportunity to test products for free. We've given away over $1 million in free products to members in communities all across North America. So that's the value to them. So they're not paying, the manufacturers are paying.
Right. And so you, as long as you, I mean, you have to bring in parents like consistently, I'm assuming, so that you have people to review products, but the revenue end is driven by the businesses itself.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So this has, I'm trying to understand. So at the beginning, like with the model of just looking for the businesses, it's like, to me, it's often most businesses, right, Sharon? Like we just have to find one customer, which would be that business, and we do something for them. Yours is like, it's almost like a double-sided marketplace where you, your business is your customer, but you have to find this other whole side of them to kind of put them together.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, when I started the company, as I mentioned, it was really hard to find someone to buy into this seal of approval. And then VTech actually was willing to give us a shot. At the same time, I was trying to build a network of moms who would be open to testing products like the VTech toys. So word of mouth got around and, you know, I had 10 people sign up, then another 10 people. And then when I got the products from VTech, what I would do is I picked local families. I would drive to their homes all across the city of Toronto and drop it off on their porches and leave a little note saying, you know, please log into your account and leave a review and let me know what you thought of this product. And that's how the network actually started. I started a Facebook group and I added all these moms and then people would join going, really, who's actually going to give me something for free? And then all of these moms would chime in saying, no, 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 you have to sign up. I got this amazing VTech toy for free. Sign up, absolutely. So simultaneously trying to grow both sides of the business is a requirement 24/7. It hasn't changed, you know, 13 years later. We're still constantly working on that. But 200,000 families, we have a really good number of families for testing. Like we don't have enough product to give to 200,000 families. But we also leverage these families for research. So they are perfect people or candidates to give us research that we could then feed back to manufacturers or the media or current events, things like that. So it's always pivoting a little bit. But like you said, my revenue comes from the businesses, but I have to continue to grow my community of moms to stay relevant. That was a really long answer to a really short question. I'm sorry.
No, it's a great answer. I love it because it's really helping me understand the way this works. And I love the fact that you got VTech and then you're like, I'm just going to drive around and hand these out. Like that's what it takes. It takes just being willing to go do the work. Mm-hmm. Was it beneficial to, I mean, Toronto is the largest city in our country, but we're still a small country by population. Was it beneficial, do you see, that you got to start and build the business within Canada rather than somewhere in the States?
Absolutely not, unfortunately. I would say at this point, 95% of our business is in the U.S. And The reason is the U.S. just has far larger budgets, so they are more willing to try new things. So I could pitch Procter & Gamble in Canada and never hear back from them, but I've worked with their U.S. team and tested probably 15 of their products through various teams in the U.S. Even small startup companies, they are more willing to try something new. Even television. That was a really disappointing experience for me because I could do regular appearances on Steve Harvey, but I could never get onto CityLine. And I could not figure out, you know, I could do MSNBC, but I couldn't get onto the Marilyn Dennis show. So to me, it was really disappointing that there was no support from, you know, the Canadian community, the Canadian businesses, the Canadian media, that I had to go out to the U.S. in order to build my brand there.
Have you noticed any like significant change with being a Canadian company dealing with American companies like over the past 12 years? Has it got harder, easier?
I feel like it's kind of stayed the same. I wouldn't say that it's shifted at all. I mean, obviously, we are in difficult times now. And interestingly enough, manufacturers more than ever are looking for a way to differentiate their products online. So for us, that's an opportunity. It used to be a consumer went into a store and they were looking for, I don't know, they were looking for a stapler. And there would be 10 staplers and they would have to choose amongst those 10 staplers. Now they're going online and there's hundreds and hundreds of staplers. How are they going to choose? Hopefully they'll choose the one that I actually don't have a stapler with my seal, but in theory, hopefully they would choose the stapler that has the seal of approval because it's another marketing technique. It's another way to stand out in the huge array of products that exist online.
Yeah, exactly. It makes perfect sense. And I'm interested to hear that it's stayed the same because now being a Canadian business dealing with mostly this like American companies, it's almost interchangeable. Like there's no difference between being Canadian and being an American company to me. Like companies I deal with don't even know if they know I'm Canadian sometimes.
That's exactly it. I would say with the exception of the last month where everyone's saying, oh, you know, what's your city like? And, you know, things like that. That's the only time where I'm located has come up just during COVID. Beyond that, I would say 90% of my clients have no idea that we're in Canada. And really, it's irrelevant to them because they'll tell me, okay, I have. So, for example, P&G has a ventures group where they invest in new ventures. And they had a product that was coming out. It was only available in certain states and actually in certain cities. We have a community in just about every state, every city. So when they said to me, you know, I need 20 families in, let's say it was Arkansas, no problem, because we have that in our database. So it's irrelevant to them where our home base actually is.
Right. So we can thrive as Canadians, even from our small country.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So this has been a fascinating conversation. You've taught me so much about the style of business. I'm not even sure what to call it because, as I said, there's been no precedent of another seal of approval company that's been on, but I absolutely love it. But I would love to wrap up on one final question for you, Sharon, if I could.
Sure.
So you've been at this game, I mean, with PTPA for over 12 years, plus you had a business before that. So you've been doing this for a while. You've seen changes come and go. We've talked about sort of, but there seems to be this place after interviewing hundreds and hundreds of people that I've noticed, Sharon, which is like, there seems to be this gap that us as entrepreneurs, as dreamers seem to live within this gap between where we are right now and where we see ourselves as successful. Meaning no matter what television show you get on, what podcast, what revenue metric you hit, it seems like you're going to see yourself as successful, but we both know that seconds before you hit that, you're just going to set bigger, loftier goals. I agree. Right. And I agree we need those. And I agree we need to push forward. But rather than pushing forward for the next couple of minutes, Sharon, could you just turn around and tell me like how you feel about this entire journey up until this moment?
So I would say if I had to look at it, and my husband makes me do this all the time, if I had to look at this business as an outsider, and I've had, you know, a lot of investor meetings and it's interesting to hear their perspectives, I would say that I'm very proud of what was accomplished. But exactly as you said, every time I set a goal, seconds before I'm potentially going to accomplish it and 5 seconds after I've accomplished it, I've already moved on to the next goal. And I remember my husband saying, you know, you're never sitting there, you know, acknowledging, taking a moment to be proud of yourself. And I was in the running for the RBC Women Entrepreneur of the Year Award. And he said, you know, maybe with that one, if you win it, you will finally realize that you have done something fantastic. And literally 5 seconds after I won it, I was like, that was awesome. Okay, what can I go after next? So as an outsider looking in, I'm really proud of the fact that I had an idea in my mind and it's now on products around the world. And I have millions of parents who are aware of this deal. And I know I've had an impact. I've given away $1 million in free products. So about that, I feel great. Do I wish the company was much bigger at this point after this long 12 and a half years? Absolutely. But that doesn't necessarily mean bigger would be more successful. Maybe, you know, COVID would completely close it down if we were bigger. So I kind of try and look at it as best as possible from both perspectives. And I try and set realistic expectations. But overall, I would say, you know, that was a really long-winded answer. I think I'm pretty proud of what I've accomplished, but I still hope to accomplish a hell of a lot more as an entrepreneur.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. And it is impressive what you've accomplished, Sharon. We've talked about PTPA throughout the conversation. We talked about who your customers were and who they weren't. But could you specifically now, just for the listener and anybody who might be part of your client base, could you just tell them specifically who you can help and what you can do for them?
Sure. So our target market is really any business who has a product that can be used by any member of the family. So, you know, we work with Dyson, we work with food companies, whatever it is. And basically our program allows them to have their product tested with real consumers. We select a number of families that meet their demographic target. We send the products out to those families. And based on their feedback, we determine if they get our seal of approval. They pay a fee in order to be considered. They get market research. They get an entire marketing campaign if they win. And they get a refund if they don't. So it's really a win-win. You get market research. You get a seal of approval that you can leverage. And, you know, it's a full marketing platform.
Awesome. Awesome. PTPA.com is the site. Sharon is also on social media. Look busy on LinkedIn, as well as I've seen Instagram and Twitter. PTPA, I believe, are on all major social media.
We are. Absolutely. And businesses can check us out also. PTPA.com is our consumer site, and our business site is PTPAmedia.com.
Oh, look at that. Okay, cool. So PTPA.com is the consumer site. PTPA Media is for anyone in a business that might be interested in learning more about Sharon and her company. I'll also link to social media of Sharon's and the company's for you. So it'll be easy to find on the website back at Hack the Entrepreneur when you are done walking or jogging or whatever it is you're doing at this very moment. Sharon, thank you so much for stopping by. I truly, truly, truly appreciate it. Thanks for sharing so openly. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it's truly awesome to watch.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun and I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. I always, always enjoy having a fellow Canadian entrepreneur on the show. Sharon can be tracked down on most social media. And also you can track down her business if you would like to check out Parent Tested, Parent Approved at PTPA.com. Or PTPAmedia.com. So I alluded to it at the beginning, or I actually said it, but I didn't tell you what it was. Rank Reset. It's our new brand that we are running. We've been doing SEO for clients now for almost 2 years, I believe. And we've had our biggest successes with people with online courses, people that sell online courses, that have courses that are already selling and just need more people to see their offers and see their courses. So after having several fairly substantial successes with clients, we've decided to pivot or move into and sort of niche down. So we are rankreset.com now, and we do SEO for companies and for people who sell online courses and online courses only. So that's what we've been up to. Check it out. Just see how it is. It's a pretty snazzy website, I would say. Been a lot of work, but it feels good to have it up there. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is our main site. As always, reach out if you would like to chat, if you have a question, anything like that. By all means, you can just sign up to the email, hit reply. It'll come straight to me. I would love to hear from you. Yeah, so that's it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.